That means the life of God be breathed upon you. The supernatural breath of God be upon you. Amen. Well, this coming week, if you turn me down slightly, this coming week is what in the calendar of bad guys, the demonic world, powers of darkness, and opportune spirit in the air that does wickedness, that is the week. They call it the week of evil, leading into Halloween and leading into All Saints Day and All Souls Day. I mean, sometimes it sounds like all Christian stuff, but there's not much Christianity about it. This week is where the enemy is unleashed to bring greatest havoc. And you just begin to read the papers and you understand what is going on. Watch your televisions and you see what is going on. And on the culmination of the day on the 31st of October, which is our Halloween day, you would understand exactly what is going on. So we as a church and a church community, we're going to have a week of prayer and fasting. That means cooperate. That means all of us, we want to focus our attention. I mean, it's great for us to pray as individuals and to fast as individuals, but when we do that as a corporate body, it's 10 times more powerful. It is always the case. My experience tells me that, and Jesus' experience tells us that. So I want you all to focus on this week of prayer and fasting and also do that with energy and with priority in your life. My name is Pastor Gideon Nash, speaking from South Street Baptist Church. And to those of you who are watching us online, I say God bless you. Today is an appointed time for you to be blessed mightily. So I pray that you listen to the word of God that is coming to you right now. In the name of Jesus. We're going to talk about the benefits and rewards of fasting. The benefits and rewards of fasting. And our first Bible reading will come from Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 verse 12. Joel chapter 2 verse 12. So if you've got your Bible, would you turn it with me and as we get ready to read it. It says, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fastings and weepings and mourning. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fastings and weepings and mourning. As an NIV translation, I'll read from the New King James translation. It said, the Lord says, turn to me now while there is time. Give me your heart. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Yes, there is time. Yes, we have time. That is why we have to set time aside today. That's why we have to set time aside this week to fast and to give God our hearts. And also with weepings and with mournings, literally meaning with prayers, with supplications, with pleadings with God for God to come through you, for you. And so what we are doing this week in praying and fasting is not just only for the church. Of course, it is important for the church. The church is made up for the people, but also for you to take that opportunity to pray for yourself, to bring your request to God, and to bring your family to God. It's very, very important. The things that you want God to bring through for you, this is that is the time. In our Christian walk, we often want to see changes and obtain a breakthrough. In some areas of our lives, however, we will not see the desired result until we combine fasting with prayer. We will not see the desired result until. Sometimes you get to a point that the only way to do that is to combine fasting with prayer. Today we will learn about the power of fasting and its reward. The power of fasting and its reward. So what is fasting then? What is fasting? Fasting is when we choose not to eat any solid food or liquid food as a way to surrender our flesh and purify our physical body. I'll repeat that. Fasting is when we choose not to eat any solid food or liquid food as a way of surrendering our flesh and purify our physical body. Sometimes we get so busy that our prayer lives, great as it is, sometimes we are in a hurry. But when you choose to fast, it's a decision you make. When you choose to fast, accompanied by your prayers, that means at that point, you are making time to want to engage with God. You are making time to bring his presence before you. You are making time to say, God, I am choosing to surrender my flesh. Flesh is that part of our nature that is susceptible to temptation. It's susceptible to weaknesses. It's susceptible to sin and attacks from the evil one. So we are surrendering that part of our nature to God. And of course, to purify our physical body. Sometimes we put in so much food into our physical body that our body needs some rest. Do you understand that? Sometimes we don't stop eating. All that we do is we eat, and sometimes you don't feel well and you are not ill simply because there's too much food in there. And you need to give time. So when you take a break, then what is in there takes time to actually come out without feeling it again. Do you understand that? So that is what, I'm not a doctor, I'm in the medical sense, but I have so many friends who are doctors, and I'm so close to many of them that they tell me that when you give your body a break and when you fast is good. Even medically, it's been proven that fasting is good for you. Because when you are going to have a blood test, what did they tell you? Fast. When you're going to have an operation, what did they tell you? Fast. Because what happens is that it gives room, you see, to take away all the food that sometimes cloud the organs and cloud all the cells so that they will see exactly what it is that they need to deal with. That is why they want you to fast. They don't want no contamination. So fasting is good for you. Some Christians think, oh, you don't have to fast. That is their choice. But my Bible tells me that I have to fast because Jesus Christ has gone up to the heavens. And therefore, his disciples, like me and you, need to fast. Wherever you are looking at me from, fasting is good for you. Amen. Let's look at the types of fasting. If you're in this church, and in this house, in this community, it should not be, a strange thing to you. Nonetheless, I need to remind you as a church so that sometimes we forget. And I need to remind you. So let's talk about three types of fasting. First, we talk about partial fast, right? Partial fast is when we eat one meal a day or choose not to eat certain foods. For example, we eliminate all carbohydrate. No more chips, right? No more rice and yam and all those things. You don't eat them, dashings no more. So you move away from that. And you also eliminate meat and oily food. And this is what we also call Daniel's fast. You see, now I've set the scriptures and I've seen that Daniel was a very, very powerful man who lived in three empires. The Babylonian Empire, that is when he went into exile. But he also lived in the Median Empire. And then he lived in the Persian Empire. He served many powerful kings. And this man did so many amazing and wonderful things that me and you have not even reached there yet. You know what? I've never seen him do any type of fasting than partial fast. Do you understand that? So I want you to understand that any type of fasting that you do is good. It depends upon what you want, right? So you can turn the volume up a bit for me as if you are muffling me, please. So the next thing I want to talk about is total fast. Total fast is when we completely eliminate solid food and only take in liquids. That means you don't eat those breakfasts. You don't eat those lunch. You don't eat those things that you normally would eat. So you take in liquids. So you are drinking water, maybe juice, maybe milk. So you're only taking in liquids. No solid food. You're missing all your, three-course meals or three meals at the day that you normally have. That is total fast, only liquids. Now, shall we talk about absolute fast? Sometimes, I mean, we call it dry fasting, right? Simply because it gets your throat and your mouth dry. But its name is absolute fast. That is when we eliminate liquids and solid food. Remember, total eliminate solid food. But this time, you're eliminating liquids. You're eliminating solid food. This fast is recommended only when it is guided by the Holy Spirit and with medical supervision. Remember that our body is 80% water, and we can only go a few days without liquids. Yes? This is a medical thing. And I remember one doctor specifically saying that it is important that if you are doing absolute fast, you don't go beyond 3 days. Some people are, I mean, veterans, so they may go beyond 3 days. And his example and his explanation is that, I mean, after 3 days, your body begins to eat of the fats in you. And then it starts eating a bit of the liquid in your bones and joints. So you begin to have aches and pains. And the longer you go on, the more likely that you are going to develop other symptoms of illnesses, which is not necessary. But then when the Holy Spirit has told you, has called your name, Gideon Nash, I want you to do fasting beyond, I mean, absolute fast, beyond 3 days, beyond 4 days, beyond 5 days, then the Holy Spirit himself will feed you. And we can take example from the Old Testament and New Testament. Moses fasted for 40 days twice when he was going for the tabernacle. And when he fasted, the Bible said he did not eat, he did not drink, but he was before the Lord. So when you see this, that means the Lord himself sustained Moses. And another person that fasted for 40 days was Elijah. In fact, God himself baked food for him. He gave him food. He said, look, I want you to get up, Elijah. Come out of your cave. I provided for you, and I want you to eat, for the journey ahead of you is very long. And he ate that food. The Bible said he was full. And for 40 days, Elijah was never hungry. The Lord fed him. Now you come to the New Testament. All this I have quotations, but I don't want to bore you with that. I'm expecting you to know. Now, then you come to the New Testament, and Jesus Christ himself fasted for 40 days without food, without drink. And the Bible said that he was led by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God sustained him. Do you get that? You see, sometimes we Christians want to outdo our fathers. But Elijah says, I am not greater than my fathers. Elijah, who defeated 750 prophets of Baal. Elijah, the one who commanded fire to come from heaven. He says, we are not greater than our fathers. Sometimes Christians, we become too religious. We want to outdo our fathers. We want to fast for 90 days. When I hear this, I'm thinking, you know what? These are religious people. They're not doing anything that pleases God. Because if you are doing that, if you cannot get your result, the reason why you're fasting in 2-3 days, stop it. You understand that? Hallelujah. Most often we want to fast longer to prove how spiritual we are. But amazingly, I want you to note that fasting does not make you any more spiritual. Get this. Fasting does not make you any more spiritual. In this church, we teach proper doctrine. Is that okay? And we teach by revelation. So I need to teach you properly so that you know what to do. You see, and the length of time you fast does not make you any more spiritual than the type of fast you choose. Sometimes the type of fast you choose determines where you are. For instance, if you're on medication, it is not advisable to go on absolute fast unless you've consulted your doctor. Even sometimes total fast, because you don't know how it's going to affect you. So check these things. But doctors themselves recommend fast. Sometimes if you are even vulnerable, they will tell you to fast because they want to see something in your blood. So take some advice. And sometimes from my experience and from talking to so many Christians and looking at many Christians, the reason why sometimes they want to fast long, the reason why they want to show that their lips are dry and, I mean, everybody knows what is happening. Oh, I can't eat. I remember when we were growing up, you see some people and they're literally passing out, right? Literally passing out. And I ask them, brother, what's wrong with you? I'm fasting. And I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. In case you drop dead, then what? You see, so I just want you to understand there's power in fasting. And you have to choose the fasting that God has appointed for you. And in this church, we give you guidelines. I mean, I can say I'm a veteran and I can do absolute fast for many days. Fasting is a lifestyle for me. And for some, entry point. Whatever it is important. So what are the benefits of fasting, guys? Because we need to teach you. As I said, one of our strengths in this church is that we teach you the right way according to Scripture. So let's look at the benefit and rewards of fasting. It brings guidance and direction from God. Fasting will bring guidance and direction from God. If we need God's direction or guidance for a specific decision or situation, the best way to obtain it is through fasting and prayers, because it makes us sensitive to God. When you are fasting, it makes you sensitive to God. You see, when you're praying, it's great. But when you set a time aside and you begin to fast, it makes you sensitive to God. Therefore, expect to hear from God when you fast. And when you pray, you got to hear from God. God needs to tell you something. Otherwise, you are just on a hunger strike and you are wasting your time. Shall we take a reading from Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3? Shall we read Acts 13, verse 2 and 3? It said, while they were worshiping, that was in the church of Antioch, I believe, and they were believers, they were prophets, they were teachers. I mean, like me and much better. They teach the word properly. And what happened is that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. So you see what? When you fast and pray, the Holy Spirit says. Right. So they were sensitive to the Holy Spirit. They said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed hands on them and sent them off. Hallelujah. So, when you fast and pray, it brings guidance and direction from God and you become sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you hear from God. Number two, what are the benefits of and rewards of fasting? It breaks the spirit of delay. See, sometimes you've been praying time and time again. You've been praying and praying and praying, and you just don't have a breakthrough. Nothing has shifted. There's no sudden intervention of God in your situation to bring a breakthrough. There's no God's invasion in the situation, and you'll be wondering, God, why has it taken that long for me to pray? And there's no answer. There's got to be an answer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the Bible or the Word of God teaches that Daniel had eating no rich food, no meat or wine, had crossed his lips, and he used no fragrant lotion until those 3 weeks were passed. So let's read it from Daniel chapter 10, verse 3. Have I got that? He said, I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotion at all until 3 weeks were over. In my translation, it says he did not use any perfume or lovely things. I'm just wondering, why is that? I haven't got the revelation on that one. You see, I mean, literally, when we put on perfume, we think much about ourselves and we become aware of ourselves. But for me, what I sense is that he said, I'm going to surrender to you, O God. Not that I want to be smelly, but just that I want to surrender to you that even that is not important for me. Did you get that? You see, even that is not important for me. I just surrender to you, oh my God. And that is what he did. And for 3 weeks, Daniel was on what we call Daniel fast, eating porridge, eating what we call the fruit and vegetables, but did not eat any of the rice and peas, or fish and chips, or the roasted dinners. And I don't know what is my favorite food, but I mean, one of them, like the one that Hannah made for me last week. I won't tell you what it is. So nice. No pressure, Hannah, wherever you are. So, I just want you to understand that, you see, Daniel had to wait 21 days to receive an answer to his prayer because the spirit of delay. The Bible said that Daniel was wondering, why isn't my breakthrough coming? And then somehow, I mean, God sent an angel and touched him whilst he was by the river, by himself and praying. Even his servants had to move away because there was a flash of light and the presence of God was there. And the angel said, look, from the day that you started to pray, I mean, God gave me the result, the answer to your prayer to bring it to you. But I was withheld from coming to you. I was withheld from bringing your answer to you by the spirit of the kingdom of Persia. And Persia covered a very huge territory. It's a territorial spirit. So every territory has a spirit that controls it. So in Greenwich, you have a spirit that controls it. In West Greenwich, you have a spirit that controls. Even on this street, we have the spirit that controls that. So we have territorial spirit. You see, a lot of Christians don't understand these things, so it becomes like, oh, what is he talking about? Yeah, search the scriptures and you see it. You see, so there are territorial spirits that controls an area. And where he was, there was a powerful spirit because Persia was a powerful kingdom of 127 provinces spanning from the present-day, Iran, all the Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, and all the stands, all the way to the boundaries of Greece, and stretching from Africa, the Middle East, is all occupied by Persia. So that was a powerful, powerful kingdom. And he said, the spirit of the kingdom of Persia withheld me. So it's got to be a very powerful spirit. But sometimes we are hindered, and our prayers are delayed by these things. And these are demonic principalities that govern the air of a region, and its purpose is to delay the blessings and close doors towards you. You see, the blessings that is coming, they shut the door and hit the back of it. And your prayer and your fasting is to get it open in Jesus' name. We're here to open doors. Hallelujah. Open doors to our blessings. So this week, I want you to come on board. Because sometimes some people find it difficult to set time for fasting by themselves. That's why as a church, every now and then, a year in advance, we put in our church calendar that we are going to fast on these days. Note them in your diary so that you will join us to do that for yourself and for your church so that we can open doors. Hallelujah. By fasting and prayer, Daniel received his breakthrough. God sent his angel to fight the spirit and defeat him. If we need a breakthrough or want to see changes, we must fast and engage in spiritual warfare or make spiritual warfare until this demonic spirit releases our blessings and those of our families, those upon our businesses, upon our jobs, and upon our ministries. We need a breakthrough. Hallelujah. What are the benefits of prayer and fasting? I believe this is number 3, right? Number 3, it releases the power of deliverance. It releases the power of deliverance. Some bondages can only be broken through fasting and prayer. Example, sometimes some people are afraid. I know some people are not here, not because they are afraid. Some people are not here right now because they are children. I want you to know that it's all right to shield because your health matters. It matters to us. So don't feel guilty that you are children. See, some too, for whatever reason, you are at home. Don't feel guilty. A few may be because they are afraid. I just want you to know that don't feel guilty either. But in fact, what you need to do is to fast and pray to break that spirit of fear in Jesus' name. And sometimes we fast to break the spirit of depression. See, to release the power of deliverance, we need that prayer and fasting to release people from depression, from addictions, mental torment, and curses. That is why in this church, we're so privileged that, God has opened our eyes through our experiences, but more so, we have trained, we have gone to learn to know how to deal with these things so that we'll be able to bring inner healing and deliverance from curses, fear, depression, addiction, mental torment, and the lot. So let's read about Isaiah from Isaiah 58, verse 6. Isaiah 58, verse 6. It says that, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to lose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is this not the fast that I've chosen?" Let me go to New King James Version. "Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke?" And as we fast, God will deliver us from any demonic oppression. Let's take a look at what Jesus Christ himself said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. He said, "The Spirit of the living God is upon me," Jesus Christ himself saying this, "because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So you see, God wants to declare the year of his favor. This year is coming to an end soon, but you got to find and see and experience the favor of the Lord. And something needs to happen. And to experience the favor of the Lord, God needs to set you free and release you by the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can receive your deliverance. And each time that we take people through inner healing and deliverance, it's such an amazing time that sometimes they come in like, "I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. Pastor Gideon said we should be here. And the church wants us to be here." But when they are going home, "Praise the Lord. Hallelujah." I'm thinking, what happened? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that this, the Spirit of the living God is upon me because it's anointed me to preach the good news. The good news includes delivering those who are oppressed. You see, some are oppressed. They don't know what is moving them. They don't know what is happening to them. But they just walk in fear. Or they just walk in oppression. Oppression means something from outside, which is not medically determined. It's pushing you to a point that you are literally experiencing phobia. You are literally losing your confidence. You are literally don't want to do anything. You are literally want to isolate yourself. You want to self-condemn yourself. You can't speak any good thing about yourself. "Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. Everybody hates me and nobody loves me," and everything you take offense. You need deliverance, my brother, my sister. And deliverance is the children's bread. Isn't that right? Matthew 15, 26. The deliverance is the children's bread. The people of God need to receive deliverance even before the people outside, the commonwealth of Israel, outside the Christian faith. Jesus said this, not me saying it. I'm just learning. He says, those who are in the house of God, they need deliverance even more so than those outside. So if you're outside and say, "I'm coming for deliverance," we will not do it. We want to do it for the people in the church. Otherwise, come and we'll take you through step by step for you to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, to know sin and its consequences. You know repentance and forgiveness of sin. You know how to be baptized by immersion to be align your life to Jesus Christ and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you are ready. Because we need to deal with stages in your life. Hallelujah. I want to press on. Now, so I want you to understand that it releases the power of deliverance. And the power of deliverance is important because this week of evil, we are going to Halloween week, right? Halloween, there is nothing Christian about it. Even though people say, oh, it goes to what is, I mean, All Saints Day and All Souls Day, All Saints Day is supposed to be what? The 31st, right? Right? And All Souls Day is to be the first. You see, All Saints Day, literally, I mean, the church, the traditional church, says that if you're dead and you are a good person, then you become saint. So we have Saint Duane, but he's alive because he's the proper saint. Innocent, Mr. Innocent. So let me come back before I digress. So Halloween has nothing to do with that. You see, now it's as if our church is worshiping the dead. Halloween time is when spirit of darkness, spirit that oppress people, spirit that put people in bondage and keep them in yokes, are actually re-energized. And they begin to do evil in the world. Evil is released in a powerful way in our communities around this time. And that will be culminated on Saturday the 31st of October. During that time, you just go to Central and other places and you see some kind of a, all the people are doing is wearing things to frighten people. You see, my preacher is not to go into the details of Halloween, but I want to encourage you. During this week, we'll have evening prayer times. I want you to come along because I would like to teach a bit on Halloween for you to understand. It's the spirit of wickedness, it's the spirit of witchcraft, that the powerful demons in the spirit world that actually manipulate and destroy lives. And this is what is unleashed. Sometimes Christians, we try to find a substitute. We dress up. The moment you dress up, that means you have aligned yourself to that festival. And you are opening the door for the enemy to come in. The moment you begin to give sweets and money to people, you are opening the door for them to come into your family to mess you about. Please, if you want to know more, join our presence and I will teach you from the scriptures so that your argument will be disqualified because it doesn't come in. It doesn't hold water. You see, and if I tell you what Halloween can do to your people and your family, you will not even think of even coming to, I mean, argue it. You see, now the next step, number five, it releases the power to overcome temptation. You see, it released the power to overcome temptation. Jesus overcame the devil in the desert with prayer and fasting. If we are tempted with discouragement to be unfaithful or to quit in life, or to quit our church, or to quit our jobs, or to literally not achieve our purpose, it is time to declare a fast. Because the enemy knows. He knows that when you are anointed, when the Spirit of God is upon you, he knows that when you are ready to do exploit, he knows that when you are ready to become powerful, he knows that when you are ready to destroy his kingdom, he knows that when you are ready to achieve your purpose and be a blessing to many, first thing he does is to discourage you. First thing he does to put doubt in your mind. First thing he does is to make sure that he brings something in your way that really cuts you out, and then you don't feel like you want to do it anymore. And for some, it takes them away from their destiny, especially the church that God has implanted them in for their purpose and their destiny to be realized. That is the enemy's work. And the spirit of Halloween does things like that. So it releases the power to overcome temptation. You see, it creates, because what it does is that it creates doubt, confusion, and distorts your purpose. But then, when that's what temptation does. But then when you begin to fast and pray, you are able to defeat that. Shall we look at Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 3? Because I need to, finish this thing and I'll be very quick. says, Luke 4, verse 1 to 3, said, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. You see, what the enemy does is that he always said, if you are, he causes you to doubt. If you are Darren, of course Darren knows he's Darren. But say, if you are, then suddenly you'll be thinking, maybe I'm Joseph. That's the enemy's strategy. The things that you're able to do and you can do, he put doubt in your mind because he wants to tempt you. Then he goes on, if you will jump from this hill, if you will, he wants to destroy you. Sometimes self-harm. Sometimes feeling suicidal. Sometimes just giving up, if you will. So he doesn't want to do it, but he wants you, if you will. If you are. So twice he said, if you are. Once he said, if you will, in this same chapter. Before. So, let's move on to the next point. We will be publicly rewarded as a benefit for praying and fasting. As Matthew 6:6 says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Because in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus Christ talked about prayer, and he was saying, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. So these three things are very important in the Christian's life that make it a lifestyle to give in the house of God. If you are not doing that, you will not receive his benefit. You can pray as much as you want. If you are not obeying scripture, scripture ain't going to back you up. You understand that? Then you become a religious Christian. And God is not interested. I've been in this church for several years, and I've stood here and the same preacher said, oh, it's collection time. We don't do collection here. We do offering. Something that you give to God so that God will open the heavens and bless you. It's something that you do as a form of worship. It's collection time, but you're not obliged to give. Only give if you want to. Very nice and posh, right? You are denying the people their blessings. You are denying them from worshiping God. You are denying them from getting engaged with God for God to be there for them when they need him. Here we want to energize you. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, we'll be biblically rewarded. That means publicly rewarded. That means God will back you up. Let me talk about the purpose of fasting. This is not going to take long. I've got a few points. You see, the purpose of fasting and what we're going to do this week is to seek God through prayer and intimacy. We want to get closer to God. Fasting without prayer is starvation. Fasting without reading the Word of God is religion. Mm-hmm. Did you get that? Fasting without prayer is starvation. Fasting without the Word of God, without setting time to read the Bible so you can hear from God, is religion. Prayer during a fast makes us more sensitive to God's presence. So sometimes if you say, oh God, I need an encounter, fast and pray so that you encounter his presence all around you. You just sometimes feel something. Sometimes you experience something. Sometimes you just get off your knees and you're thinking, wow, this is my dear place. This is the place of God and I didn't know it. And yet you've been there praying all the time. But adding fasting really make you sensitive to God, because at that time you've made up your mind that I want more of God. And therefore everything else falls apart. You are focused and you are waiting. You are sensitive to God's presence. Remember, the enemy can also show up, you know. If you don't know the word of God, the demons will speak through you. Did you get that? But that is not for you to be afraid. If your mind is on God, you only get God. Because I'm not saying anything different. While Jesus Christ was on the desert, what was happening? Satan was there. So what's different? Hello? Even Job's time was when Abraham was around. And his time, when they said, when the sons of God, when presented themselves of God, somebody was also walking along. And God said, well, where are you coming from? Who is that person? And he identified himself, he's Satan. So he's probably even here. But then he has no control or authority over us. Amen. Because we are praying. Because we are fasting. Because we are focused on God. Amen. And we live in the supernatural power of God. Amen. Amen. So, let me move on to God. So, the next point is that purpose of fasting. To humble ourselves and repent before God. To humble ourselves and repent before God. The Bible clearly states in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. I'll read this very quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. If you can't project it, never mind. We move on quickly. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So fasting is to humble yourselves and repent before God. So if someone says, I'm going to humble myself and repent before God, the person is literally saying, I am going to fast. In some tradition, they said, I'm going to climb a hill. So everyone has an area in his or her life that needs to change. Remember, fasting does not change God, but it changes you. Amen? So when you are fasting, you're not fasting for God. You're not fasting to even please me. It changes you. The next point, it opens your heart to receive revelation and understanding. Fasting opens your heart to receive revelation and understanding. When you look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 to 5, you will see that fasting opens your heart. That was Daniel doing another 21 days of fasting. And the moment that he set his heart to fast, God gave him a revelation. Because God gave a revelation, he was talking about 70 years. And I'm just thinking, that was a long time. The people were in exile, and they didn't know how long it was for. How long will God turn his back against us because of our disobedience? And Daniel was a prophet. He was a man of God. And he said, God, this has eluded me. I can't see. I don't understand. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand that something is not going right in my home. I don't understand that my business goes up and comes down. I don't understand I can't have a breakthrough. I don't understand that nothing seemed to be happening. And he set himself to fast for 21 days. And the Bible tells us that when he set himself to fast for 21 days, God revealed to him that actually they are going to be in exile for 70 years. That made him prepare himself. That he was in for a long time. But then that made him know that I have to now go back to God and say, so this 70 years that I'm here, what is the plan B? Show me so that I can walk in them. It's just like, I mean, Isaiah 30 verse 21, it says, whether you turn to the right or you turn to the left, you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Isn't this incredible? Some of the things that we've done here as a church. Powerful stuff. And these are the things that we taught our children from the ages of 5 to 14. That they have to listen out to God. So, hey, this is a good place to be. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Hey, 2 points and I'll be finished. Now, what's the purpose of fasting? It's for our prayers to be empowered. You see, Mark chapter 9, verse 28 to 29, The disciples were literally beside themselves trying to heal somebody because a man came with his son and said, look, my son is demonized. My son is possessed. My son has epilepsy. That any time that it hits him, he throws himself down, and sometimes he wants to throw himself into the river or throw himself into the fire and he doesn't even feel anything. Because when demons are oppressing you, you are beside yourself. You lose control. Right? And when that is happening, you know what? He said, look, Jesus, why couldn't we cast this one out? And Jesus said, but this kind cannot come out except by prayer and fasting. So I want you to know, when you fast for a purpose. Write that one down. I must fast for a purpose. You've got to have a definitive purpose while you are fasting. Because sometimes certain things are bugging you you have to get to your Popeye moment and I can't stand this no more. Now this is my purpose, that I'm going to shift this boundary. I'm going to shift this mountain. I'm going to shift it. Mountains are demonic oppressions. We have to shift them. The final one is fasting brings protection for you and for your children. Let's look at Ezra. We have Ezra in this house. Where is he at? Wherever he is. So we have Ezra. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21 to 23. You see, Ezra was a teacher. Much better teacher than I am. And he was a priest. A vicar, if you want to put him that way. And he taught the word of God to the people of Israel when they decided to go back. They were released after 70 years to go back to their land. And somebody had to teach them the word of God again. And when they were going back, Ezra made a faith confession that God will protect us. And you know what he said? When the king asked me, what help do I want? He said, I was ashamed to ask for protection, from him, for him to set up military guys and army cordon, or legions to protect us, because I've already told him that our God will protect us. You see, so he's made a powerful confession. Now he's thinking, oh dear. Why did I say that? But then why has he thought about it? He said, hang on a minute. If I've said this, then my confession needs to come through. And the way it will come through, I have to go back to the drawing board, go to my God, and I know that this time I need to up the level. I have to pray and fast. And then the protection that we want, because it was a long journey from Persia to come to Israel. It was a long, long journey. And bad guys were on the way. Even people in the various provinces who don't like the Israelites to be free will stop them. So when he prayed, the gracious hand of the Lord came upon them. And God gave them safe passage. So time and time, if you want safe passage for your people, if you want safe passage for yourself, go and say passage for your children in any situation, you have to fast and pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged? Yes. Hey, this week we are going to fast and pray. We believe in it. Shall we respond to this? It'll be a shorter time so that we can give Samantha time and we don't stay here for too long. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to stand. You've been sat for, 35 minutes, probably 40 minutes or so. And we want you to stand up. And we're going to pray. This week, as a church, we've set it aside to fast and pray for our needs, to fast before God and pray for the needs of the church. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us. So one, we are going to pray for the Holy Spirit to help us. And two, we are going to pray for repentance and humility before God and ask God to change our hearts. Some people don't fast. They either don't believe in it or they didn't want it. Some too also fast as a religion. Some also fast because they have different conception about it. We want to bring ourselves before God. We want to repent before God. Hallelujah. I want to give you a little time to pray, and then the worship team will minister to you, and then we'll get Samantha to come and help us out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to pray right now. I want you to pray now. You can put in the music files on and just at the back.